All right, before we come to the communion table this morning, open up your scriptures to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is a very sobering passage, which is, you will notice, is a parallel to what Todd read from Romans chapter 1. Can anyone disagree with the statement that we live in an age of moral deterioration? I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? And in the end times, men will wax worse and worse. And this is a passage that we're looking at here. Now, I want you to keep in mind something that we had mentioned when we first started into this book, is the fact that this is the last book that Paul writes that when's on the planet here. I mean, before he ends, matter of fact, we're going to spend much of the fourth chapter looking at the fact that he's wrapping his affairs up right. He says, I fought the good fight, I've run the good race, and therefore there's a crown of righteousness prepared for me, which will never fade. And he's given last minute instructions. And so Paul is indicating here that as you come towards the end, we'll see a rapid deterioration. Matter of fact, we'll see, according to the scriptures, at least three things as we come towards the return of the Lord. Daniel, in chapter 12 in the book of Daniel, says that there'll be men who run to and fro, and knowledge shall be greatly increased. Well, we surely have seen that. I mean, just think of the last century. We entered the century riding horses. Two-thirds of the way through the century, we were landing a man on the moon. That's incredible. And it was absolutely, matter of fact, in Walter Lord's book, The Good Years, my favorite historian, he's the one who wrote The Night You Remember about the Titanic and Hiroshima. He's the guy who wrote that. And he made a statement that between 1900 and 1910, there were more inventions that would aided the home than any other point in history. That's the age when they invented the vacuum cleaner and the steam iron, and they invented the Folsom tractor, and all these things came about during that decade. The Marconi, the wireless, and all these came about during this generation. And so knowledge has greatly increased. And men are running to and fro. The second thing we see, in the scriptures talking about as it comes to the end times is the fact of this concept that men will become more wicked, right? More vile. And this third thing, which was mentioned in the previous chapter, was the fact that there'll be a falling away in the church, right? So much so, the apostasy, so much so, that the Lord asked, will the Son of Man find faith when he returns? And so we come to this moral decadence, and just like what Todd said when he read from Romans chapter 1, this list is bone-chilling. 2 Timothy 3:1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into the households and make captives of gullible men loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these who resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be made manifest to all, as theirs also was. That is quite a list. And as we take a look at around us, I think we see that this list is being fulfilled everywhere you look. There are other lists in the scriptures that talk about men who go beyond feeling. They don't feel anyone else's pain. In fact, I was watching a video from Victor Davis Hanson, a very brilliant guy with the Hoover Institute. He says that the Marxist left do not believe in anything but themselves. Just think of that statement. They don't believe in anything but themselves. And they said that's the way men are, that they are so self-oriented that they believe in themselves. As a matter of fact, it says here they're lovers of themselves. Now, even though evil has always been prevalent in the fallen world, there are times it is actually more pervasive. For example, as it was in the days of Noah, it was so evil that when the Lord looked around, he could only find one person that he considered righteous, Noah. And Noah found what? Grace in the sight of the Lord. And so we know pre-flood days, pre-deluge days, which, by the way, has more to do with any global warming than anything man does, but that's another sermon. During the time of 1 Kings 19, there were so few people who followed the Lord that Elijah thought that he was the only one left. God had to tell him there were 7,000 others, by the way, that haven't bowed a knee. It's still a small number, but no, Elijah, you're not the only one left. By the way, the fewer there are, the more important that your light shines. And though evil has been pervasive in America up until the last couple of generations, society at least generally agreed that the Judeo-Christian morality was right. Even if they didn't follow it, there was a sense of right or wrong. And that's what postmodernism is about. Postmodernism says it doesn't matter if there's a right or wrong. The only thing that matters is what works for you. And so we have this evil that has grown, and the rebellion is against God. It's the evil is not because men love evil so much, it's the fact they hate God that much. Men love darkness rather than light. And by the way, this is something that's very important to understand as we take a look, because to a Christian, we scratch our head, why in the world would you do this? Why in the world would you believe this? Why in the world would you follow this path? Evil is intentional, not accidental. They follow it even to their own destruction. Because whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Because total depravity lurks in the heart of men. You know, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know, it was D.L. Moody, I believe, that made the statement that he's not so much astounded as the sins of men, but the wickedness in his own heart. (Laughs) And as they approach the time of the Lord's return, men will become increasingly worse, and they will not repent, and they're heading for judgment, and they do not care. So no warning will turn them away. That's why it's so important for us to share the gospel so at least some might see the light and come to the light and be saved. And so Paul lists 18 characteristics here of men in the end times. All 18 are negative. And they're very similar to the parallel passage in Romans 1. The end times, it said, will be perilous. The word means hard, grievous, distraughtful, difficult, stressful. It's not only going to be hard on believers, but unbelievers as well. Sin is always hardest on the one doing the sinning. Sin wrecks lives, destroys lives. I remember many years ago, you know, I saw a cartoon where a young man had grabbed a hold of sin, and then sin turned around and grabbed him by the throat. That's the way it works. You ever heard anyone on an addiction say, I can quit at any time? Do they? No. Murders, attacks, thefts, vileness, and here's one of the major problems we have is those people who are supposed to be protecting society from these things are just as evil as the ones doing them. So you have murderers who are released back out into the street without bail, waiting to trial, so they may murder again. Drugs pouring across our border, M13 gang members, the list goes on and on. And there are those who would take those who are victims of crimes and re-victimize them and blame them for the very crime that's committed on them. Now, I'm not going to go through all 18 of these. There are four basic categories of wickedness that are mentioned here. First of all, lovers of evil. Secondly, prideful. Thirdly, rebellious, and fourthly, cruel. So you notice it has the lovers part of this thing. They love self, money, and pleasure. And so they will indulge themselves to exalt themselves, to entertain themselves at the expense of others. Solomon pursued this same course, if you remember, that he denied himself nothing, and it ended up in a very distraught, tragic ending of his life. Those who love and exalt themselves do not care about anyone else, and despise those who uphold the truth, because once you show the light on their darkness, they hate you for exposing what they are. See, the reason why they hate the light is the fact they love their darkness, and light uncovers what's in their hearts. Every room looks clean and neat until you turn the light on. And, you know, as my wife has told me over the years, there's a difference between husband clean and wife clean. But it's a major difference in what is God clean. It's a great increase of self-centeredness, discourteousness, unfeeling for people around there, unforgiving. People who will just as soon run you over to get where they're going. And then there's lovers of evil, promoters of promiscuity, perversion, fraud, deception, hatred of all that is pure. Like the basketball coach who complained the women's basketball clothes that there were a man claimed to be a boy claimed to be a girl, and the girl shower room says, well, have the girls use the individual bathrooms. And then, wait a minute, you can't have a guy in here, he's a dude, taking a shower with the girls. But that's where we've come. As in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, Billy Graham used to say, if the Lord doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. The judgment is coming. Laws are being passed to make it illegal to oppose perverse genders, agendas. As a matter of fact, they're going to solve the fact that those who are complaining about men who are competing in women's sports by changing the definition of what a woman is. Most people in previous generations knew what a woman was. Matter of fact, some would tell you it was a female of the species, right? And if any of you ever read George Orwell's 1984 or Animal Farm, you notice one of the big things throughout the book is this newspeak, where they change the definition of words. It no longer means what the normal language would have it mean. So recently, when they had a Supreme Court justice nominee ask by a senator could she define woman, she said she couldn't. She wasn't a biologist. I think any of your second or third graders could probably identify what a woman is. And so the debauchery and the hedonism is codified into law as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Not only are to be lovers of evil, but also arrogant. And arrogance is rampant. Arrogance and pride come about when there's no fear of God. Men promote their own will and their own desires, and we will not have this God rule over us. Men who dare challenge anyone's idea of morality are shouted down, are shut down. You cannot have someone who has conservative values go on to any secular or most private campuses today. They will not get a hearing. And as the saying goes, anyone who will not hear the opposition is not educated, they're indoctrinated. And then they have a major cruelty and brutality and callousness that is rapidly increasing. The murder rates in cities are up so high that even the left has to somehow respond, and they say it's all the guns' fault. By the way, this might be news to some, but guns are inanimate objects. They can't do anything on their own. If you have a gun in your house, it just sits there. It takes someone to use that tool. I remember, and I was just absolutely appalled and yet not surprised. I think it was two summers ago when a woman was bringing her son, who worked so hard to become a plebe at the United States Naval Academy, and they were celebrating that, and she gets shot and killed by a guy who was already charged with two murders, was sent out on electronic surveillance leash that he sawed off and killed again. And the mayor of Annapolis says, oh, it's about the guns, guns, guns. No, it's not. It's about injustice. And so the murderers and the vileness and the drugs, you know, everything. You know, I was listening to a traffic report on, in fact, it was Wednesday or Thursday, and there were three roads blocked downtown, all three because there were shootings at those roads. Not because of traffic accidents, because there were shootings. Broad daylight. Kidnappings, brutal crimes. Romans chapter 13 says the government is supposed to be the ones who punish evil and promote the good, and when it doesn't do that, then lawlessness is rampant. And the proverb says, when the evil reign, the righteous mourn. And when the righteous reign, the righteous rejoice. We have a vilification of all standards of decency, of Christian values, of honesty, just abounds. Now, Paul gives a few examples. First of all, he says, I want you to run away from these guys. He says, first of all, these wicked people pretend to be decent people. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. There's a lot of people who actually go to church and go to services who, when they leave it, they live just the opposite life, and they have this form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. It means nothing to them. There's no power in false religion, by the way. There's no power. There are politicians who say they're for the children, but they promote abortion. The murder of babies in the womb. They encourage drug dealers to cross the borders. They groom children to be perverted. They teach structural ideas. Or they teach children to hate their parents. As a chaplain, I received a contact from one of our cadets that says, I'm really transitioning to be a girl, but I don't want to tell my parents. And I said, you have to talk to the diversity officer, which we didn't have one at the time. I said, but that's what they're being taught. I mean, children are confused enough, right? They're trying to figure things out, and to put this on them. It's not only child neglect, it's child abuse. And they want to leave the parents out. And so they pit the parents and the children against each other. And never has anyone paid so much as sending your children to colleges that are there to destroy their faith and destroy their heritage. And you pay for it. They encourage destructive ideas and behavioral things, teaching them how to hate. critical race theory, the Lincoln Project, the 1619 projects, Marxism, voyeurism, and even pedophilia. Said we're not going to call it pedophilia, we're going to call it men attracted to children. This is today. It's not some future thing. It's happening right now. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. But I do know the signs are here. And we're commanded to occupy till He comes. He says, and then there are these, they're like the men that go into houses and take gullible women captive, who are filled their own lusts. Now, I don't want to be chauvinistic here. I'll just blame Paul for it. But there's a difference between thinking logically and reasonably and emotionally. Okay? And someone who thinks emotionally, people can play on their emotions. And they can be led down that path because of their emotional responses. And Paul is given warning here. He says, and they increase in learning and never come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, when I'm getting ready, quite often for bed at night, I listen to John Batchelor's show. Quite often he has this guy on called Behind the Black, which has to do with the stars and has astronomers on. They spout the most unbelievable nonsense. I mean, in the center of our galaxy, there's this huge, massive black hole, and it spins off all these solar systems and stars. Say, what? It sounds like a toy box. You open it up. But you see, that's what they teach. Ever coming to knowledge, but never the knowledge of the truth. See, to understand truth, you have to start out with truth. And to start out with truth, you have to start out with the giver of all truth. And so if you don't start out with the giver of truth, you're going to go down to the road to nonsense. So stay away from them. And he uses the example Jannes and Jambres, who opposed Moses and the truth. And if they led people away, by the way, people will tend to believe in error more over the truth. They tend to do that. I mean, if you have something good to say about someone, a few people will believe it. But if you started a rumor, that rumor will be believed by everybody. And you never get it back. Now, I want you to notice how he ends here. He said, their folly will come upon them and there'll be an abrupt end. Psalm 54:7 says, I saw the end of the unrighteous and wickedness as they stand before the judgment. And so David said, I saw the end of the wicked. Now where does that leave us? I want to end with this. You got three basic responses. One, oh, woe is me. We wring our hands. Two, I think I'll hide under my bed. Or three, I'm going to stand for the Lord till He comes. that we're the voice crying in the wilderness, as John was, make way the path of the Lord. There is right. You don't have to go down this road. You have one life to live. Are you sure that's the way you want to go? May the Lord find His people faithful till He comes. As we come before the communion table, may we be determined to be that light. Now, I'll give you this one piece of encouragement. By the way, this was not one of my most encouraging messages. If this is happening, we're getting close. Hang in there a little bit longer, because we'll see the righteous come for His own. Amen? Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your grace, Your mercy, Your love. We hate to see the wickedness around us, those things which oppose You, those things which dishonor You. We pray, Lord, that we will stand for truth and for righteousness in all things. Lord, I pray for revival. I pray that You'll help us stand firm, and no matter what we have to face, our heart grieves over the destruction that we see that evil is doing. To reject Your mercy, to reject Your graciousness, to reject the bounty You've given us, ungrateful men feel entitled and rebel even more. Lord, teach us how to walk in grace and mercy and truth. And Lord, does anyone who's come through these doors that's not made a commitment to Jesus Christ, may they make that commitment this day. Lord, as we come before the communion, Lord, may we honor You in all things, be committed and determined to stand for what is truth, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At the end of each service, I'd like to give a little gospel outline. We never assume that everyone here or everyone looking on YouTube is in Christ, even if you were in church all your life. That doesn't save you. And so we have 3 points. Number one, this man over here represents all mankind. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we can't get to heaven over here where God is, because it says evil can't dwell with God, and period. Sin's evil. So this lake of fire, we're made in the image of God, have eternal souls, and this lake of fire is prepared for those who can't enter heaven. Revelation 20. But God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A bridge is put across there, and that's Jesus Christ. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. If you never put your faith in Jesus Christ, we would invite you to do so this morning.